The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
Welcome to the show that we're doing right now.
What the hell are we doing on this show?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Let's go.
What is this?
Giggity, 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 giggity.
Who else but
the Q?
It's showtime.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Gentlemen, welcome to the queue, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and you're listening to the best pop culture, current events, and political show east and west of that Mississippi River right there, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, your gateway to the West. This is the queue, and you can catch us worldwide at thequeuenow.com, as well as on 1380thex.com every single Sunday, 1 to 3 p.m., and Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m., Central Standard Time, 1420 WINI. We're going to be adding Chicago and a few other major cities very, very soon because, well, it's becoming a little bit more current that they're playing our shows. Like, they've been playing our shows, but we've got a huge show for you. I want you to stop it with all the town halls and roundtable meetings. We are going to discuss that. We'll also be discussing Facebook real name policy and whether it is a good or necessary idea. And we're going to sit down with a legend in the motorcycle trick riding world, as Adam Hunziker, a founding member of the Street Fighters from St. Louis, joins us to discuss that lifestyle. But without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show. First off, he is large. He is in charge. He is one of my favorite people in the entire world. This man has been all over the world. Have you left me for Stephen D.C. again?
I have not.
You have not. You are staying put.
I am staying here.
You're not calling into the show for DC anymore and trying to be a part of the team over there with D.
I did one random time.
One random time. I understand.
Hey, you got to make sure they're getting their facts correct.
That is producer Bobby over there. Also, the queen of sass, the sassiest bitch we know, the woman who cannot stop drinking Pinot Noir, as well as cussing? What is the word for cussing in Spanglish?
Oh. Manoblados.
Manoblados. You manoblados a lot?
Oh, bastante.
Yeah, mastanico.
I didn't have any pino today, though.
That's good.
Are you proud of me?
I'm very proud of you. I'm so happy that you're actually not drunk.
Sober.
That you're coherent.
I am sober today.
But have we told Billy? Now, you've talked to Billy Corrigan about this, have you not? About the show, right?
Yes.
Have we talked to him about your pino problem that you have? Yeah, we better hope that Billy doesn't get a wind
of it. I don't have a pino problem.
You do have
a
pino.
It was that one day.
Come on now. I called the show Queen Pino because of you were so bad. It was ridiculous. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on here. Let's get to our esteemed guest here. He is a member of the legendary St. Louis Street Fighters motorcycle crew. He is a gentleman that I actually have a past history with from college basketball, and that's how we met. A great man by the name of Adam Hunziker. Adam, thank you for joining us today on the show, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, man. Motorcycles, for everybody out there that don't understand what I'm trying to say here.
What is going on?
I don't know what is going on here. Adam and me, we met in college, right? Florissant Valley?
We did, yep.
And played basketball together there for a little bit. And I had no idea. I'm sure other people on the team knew. In 1995, okay, when we first met. Were you riding motorcycles at the time, sir?
I was not.
You were not riding motorcycles at all?
Not in 95.
What made you pick up the motorcycle? Because by the time Adam left Flow Valley and me and him parted, he drove away on a motorcycle. I had no clue he rode motorcycles. Obviously, he didn't in 1995 when I met him. So, like, that must have been a quick progression, man.
It was quick. Actually, I wanted to get my adrenaline fixed just from wave runners. And so a buddy of mine quickly talked me out of that because you can only ride those, for a short period during the year. So he said that, you know, motorcycles, that's something you can ride 8-9 months out of the year. And I said, well, yeah, that makes sense. So I went that route. And, you know, unfortunately, the first when I first purchased the motorcycle, I was too scared to actually drive it home.
Did you do what I did? Crash a CBR at 25 miles an hour because you didn't realize you had to lean to turn?
No,
because that's what I did.
I actually crashed at 75 miles an hour. So
oh my goodness! I wanted you that. 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, that was my first bad wreck.
Where were you at?
Actually, South County, Forder, and Lemay Ferry.
And was it another car was involved in, or just you wiping out?
Well, actually, me and one of my teammates, we were racing while in wheelies, so we were basically shifting through gears. And when I shifted in the second gear, actually, I was in the wheelie, and I shifted and gave it gas while in the wheelies, which obviously that didn't work out well, and it flipped me over backwards.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah, so my bike...
You're good. You're good.
My bike ended up in the sewer, and then I was arrested shortly after that because witnesses said that I was doing wheelies.
Now, so how quick was the progression from no knowledge of motorcycles and wanting to get the adrenaline junkie fix to doing your first wheelie?
It actually was more of a competitive thing. So I didn't even think about the adrenaline rush at first. I just wanted to do what my buddy was doing, which was popping small wheelies. So when I saw him do that, I didn't want him to outdo me. So I naturally had to do longer and better wheelies. And then it just kind of progressed from there.
So, okay. So let's talk a little bit about this. Now, if you live in the St. Louis area now, we obviously have thousands of fans throughout the United States. So in other places, you might have heard of the Street Fighters. You might not have. That's okay. You know, we have a lot of people listen to the show for different reasons. If you've seen the stickers with the flying V, right? It's the motorcycle and wheelie with the flying V with the legs out. It's actually quite a well-known. I'm sure you've made a ton of money off of those stickers alone, because you guys were the originators of that sticker, were you not?
We were. Yeah, I'm actually the designer of the sticker.
Now, are you the picture?
I'm not. That's Dennis. Yeah, one of the other founding members.
Okay. How many founding members of the Street Fighters are there?
Three.
There's three. There's you,
James, and Dennis.
And do you all have nicknames? You got like Maverick and all that? Or
actually, my nickname came from basketball, which was AZ. And then James naturally was JV because his first name's James, last name's Vaughn, and then Dennis was he called himself the chosen one. So his nickname is a little more extensive than mine, but we kind of let him go with it.
Fair enough. So. Chosen one. I like the chosen one. Bobby, would you like to have a Street Fighter nickname? We could bestow one upon Bobby real quick here.
That'd be awesome.
We'll call you
the big one.
Big one. The big dub?
Big dub.
Big go. Dub? That's your new motorcycle?
Sounds awesome.
Now you're going to have to get yourself a motorcycle.
I'm going to get a t-shirt.
What kind of motorcycle would we recommend for him, Adam?
We'd probably put him on a ZX14 or something like
that. A ZX14, not a Hayabusa?
I think
a little Busa action for him?
That's kind of played
out. I mean, he's not black, but still.
No, you know.
I have no clue what he just said. I could go for a tricycle.
You could go for a tricycle?
Yeah, we'll go with a tricycle. I'll do wheelies on the trike.
That's weird.
Awesome.
I think it would be funny to watch you doing wheelies on a tricycle.
It's only something B-Dub would do.
Now, to get back to the Street Fighters, so what year do you guys form the Street Fighters itself?
Technically, on paper, we were formed in
1999.
Yeah.
But how long have you guys been doing tricks before that? Probably 2-3 years?
Yeah, I'd say we were probably 98 was when I can officially say we were really doing tricks.
Now, you guys, you're explain to people out there who might not know, the Street Fighters, you're motorcycle trick riders. That's what you do, primarily. That was your original form.
Yeah, we started out just really, like I said, trying to see who could do the longest wheelie.
And it was mostly for adrenaline rush purposes.
Mostly for adrenaline rush, right, in competition amongst friends. So after, we were basically doing this, and then we'd go to our basketball games at night, because that's how we met. Via basketball. So we go to our games and then we would tell our friends what we were doing. And of course, nobody believed us. You know, the speeds.
Like pickup leagues and things like that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the speeds that we were doing these wheelies at, which were around 130, 140 miles an hour.
They just were hard to believe.
Nobody believed it. They didn't believe the speed and they just didn't believe the distance.
Camera time.
Exactly.
That's
camera time. So we get the camera out and we start filming. And James had the idea, well, why don't we throw some music on this and make it cool? So here we are in his basement one night. We've got 5 VCRs, 3 TVs, 10 remotes. And we're just cutting
old
school style, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so we ended up with this little 10-minute demo, which I'd love to find if anybody can ever find that. And so we started showing it to our friends. Well, then James also decided, well, let's see if we can get this in somebody's hands who can move it or show it to somebody. So we sent it to a distributor in Laguna Hills, California.
Like a DVD distributor?
An Extreme Sports DVD distributor. Yeah. So we sent it to her and she called us right back. She said, hey, if you can give me 45 minutes of this,
I'm going to put you in touch with Joe Francis, the guy who owns bum fights and Girls Gone Wild, and we're going to knock this out the park.
Yeah, so she's like, you do that, I'll send you a check every 30 days, and we'll get it rolling. And we were just blown away by that. So over that next summer, we started filming. And, you know, we really didn't know what we were doing. So, I mean, we had James's wife's in the car. She's driving, hanging out the window with the kids in the back filming, you know. we're you know, she's probably doing things that shouldn't repeat here on the air. But, you know, we're just filming everything we can in every way we can. And then we ended up, you know, we bought a little crappy computer and we bought some editing software.
Well, piece by piece, do-it-yourself style.
So we ended up, long story short, 45-minute film, sent it out to the distributor.
And is that the original, what do they call that, Careless?
Careless and Imprudent was the first DVD.
That was the first 45?
Yeah, first 45 minutes.
And how'd that do for you?
It did well.
let's wax poetic on the past here. How many units did you move?
Of that particular?
Yeah.
I'd say over, probably when it's all said and done, including DVD that came later, probably 25,000.
Wow, that's a lot of units, man.
Yeah.
So how was the reception to the DVD, beyond just the units being sold? Like, how was the reception? Did you guys start getting called? People wanting to talk to you, be a part of the team?
It was a mixture of people wanting to be a part of the team. And right, a lot of people thought it was some type of club or membership that they wanted to belong to. But, I mean, a
three-piece with a rocker, just like, no, we're not one percenters. Like,
No. Yeah. We didn't honestly, at that point, we still didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we had. We were just kind of, you know, we were just
being... You were like Jackass. You kind of fell into it.
Yeah,
we
fell into it. And a lot of it mainly was businesses and people trying to figure out ways to make money off of what we were doing.
Sure.
They were approaching us. Whether it was sponsoring something, endorsing, making appearances, and stuff like that was kind of what was happening.
Now, I know one of your other members from the past, Dan Farley.
Yes.
You know, good dude that we both know. And I guess Dan's no longer with the crew. You know,
no.
He does his own thing. And so... at that time, you guys, how many people were in your crew? Like, you had the original three, and then, like, what was...
Yeah, after the original three, about 2 years into it, Dan came along.
Okay.
And he was with us for a little bit, and then we actually opened a store in South County Mall, and we hired one of the people we actually hired to work was DJ, and after a year or so of him working, he absorbed into the group, and then we added two more people.
What do you consider, like, is there like seven guys that you consider like the team?
Five right now.
Five total.
Yeah.
And, but you guys are legends, man. Like, people I know that that sounds weird at this point in your career to look back, but the truth is it's 2014.
Right.
It's not 2000 anymore. It's been 14 years.
Going on 15, yeah.
Going on 15 years. Next year is your 15th year anniversary,
I guess,
technically.
Yep.
Or, I mean, if 99, well, this would be your 15. But regardless, you're 15 years in.
Right.
Like, that's a long while.
It is.
Like, you know, you get to 20 years in a career, you're pretty vested, you know, you're going to be able to retire whenever you want type stuff.
Right.
You know, you've obviously caught, you know, respect from all over the world, you know, different places. Where have you traveled to off of this? Where are some of the places you've been?
All over the U.S. Outside the country, we've been in Toronto. Actually, we've got a few things in the works right now to go to Nepal.
Nepal.
Wow. Yeah.
Is that China? Over by China?
I think it's over.
No, it's in Europe.
Yeah.
No. Nepal? I guess India, maybe?
I think.
Google it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Google that crap, Bobby.
I think it's more in the Asian
spectrum. Asia, India, through that area over there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking mountains when I hear Nepal.
Yeah,
I'm saying.
It's where the Himalayas.
Yeah, it's the Himalayas. Right. Yeah, exactly. So.
So I mean, as far as the U.S., we've been to every major city: California, Miami, New York.
You hit every state?
Almost every state. Probably Idaho, Montana, some of those states we haven't made it to yet.
Now, I do want to talk to you about a couple of things that are a little bit nefarious,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because, you know, it's been a long time since you and me have caught up, so I have a lot of questions, you know, catching up with an old friend. If you guys have any questions, Lucy, Bobby, if you guys have any questions you want to ask them, be my guest. You're more than welcome to.
I do apologize. Nepal is between India and China.
Oh, look at that. Look how close we were. Look at that. Wow. That's what happens when you graduate.
If you would have went to
McClure North instead of McClure, you'd be better off. That's all I'm saying.
Ouch. Okay.
We know how to fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
We burn down cities.
Sure. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Okay. So, you know, in what you guys do, obviously, a lot of time, a lot of practice, a lot of spills, you know, a lot of broken bones. What's your count on your broken bones and your body parts, bro?
I do not have any broken bones.
None.
I haven't had any. My teammates, although I've had several.
Several.
Several. Yeah. Actually, Dan probably has suffered the worst. He broke his back in
holy crap.
Several places.
Had no idea.
Oh, really? Yeah, in our fourth video, actually, I was the one filming it. He was doing a wheelie on the Alton Road and wheelied off, spun into the guardrail, and completely shattered his lower back.
Oh, wow. That's got to be so scary when you see a situation like that.
It was scary. Yeah, we actually thinking back now what we did, because we immediately picked him up.
And you should, yeah.
Threw him into the car.
To get him to get him to the hospital.
Well, there's a couple of things. We want to get out of the... get off the road.
You don't want to be there because the cops coming is not a good thing.
We always say we were kind of like the Acme cleanup crew. We came in real quick. We swept up, picked him up, threw him in the car, and took off within seconds. But his surgeon basically explained it to us. He said it looked like somebody took an M80, stuck it in his spine.
Oh, my gosh.
And lit it. There were fragments of his spine all over his back.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So he laid in a hospital bed for 52 days motionless, staring at the ceiling.
Yeah. Ouch. That's some Bruce Lee stuff. That's when you formulate your own version of Kung Fu.
Yeah.
That's what happens there.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough to watch. We were roommates at the time, so I had 52 days of freedom at the apartment, which is nice.
Yeah, which is always nice.
Yeah. But he pulled out of it. He obviously kept riding afterwards, which was...
That's great, yeah.
That was great, yeah. So he's still going today.
What do you... So you haven't really had many injuries yourself. What's the worst thing that has happened to you?
I've had a few wrecks. We were doing a show in Illinois, actually, and I was doing a stoppie at about 60 miles an hour and flipped over the front.
Is that the endo top?
Yeah. A lot of people call them nose wheelies. And so when I flipped over, I landed on a rock, and I put about a 3-inch hole right into my knee.
Oh, that puts a hamper on the volleyball and basketball career there.
Yeah, that slowed it down a little bit. DJ actually...
You got your girlfriend sitting right here looking at you as you tell these stories, and she's like, wait a second,
I didn't even...
Yeah, her face is like, I didn't even know about... Whoa, ow!
She hasn't heard them all. Some of them I don't tell her.
Fair enough. No, fair enough.
So, but yeah, I mean, all of us have suffered. James, actually, he's suffered some insane wrecks. There was one wreck he wrecked on the highway, and he actually landed in a pile of oil from his bike and slid probably 300 feet down the highway in the oil, which saved him. But he's had some bad... DJ's probably had the most broken bones. I think he has a bunch of steel rods in his hand, in his leg, some in his hip. So he...
What makes you continue to... Like, when you see your friend, like, you guys... Like, I get it. Like, Lucy's a professional wrestler. I'm semi-retired professional wrestler who still does his thing here and there, and I might actually be getting back in the ring soon for a one-off type thing. You're just Bobby, okay? So, but you know, I mean, I've taken chairs to the head 10 times in a match. I've gone off the top of cages. I've gone through two tables at the same time. And this is all wearing no protection whatsoever. This is literally just a pair of tights and a human body flailing through the air. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I know what it's like. And I know that the adrenaline and the fun that I get out of that is what kind of kept me coming back. You know what I'm saying? But like some of the stuff you guys, like I know that we're trained in a certain way to like handle falls a certain way. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You guys are just literally riding really fast. And if crap goes haywire, you're screwed.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah. Some of those things there's no coming back from once you make a mistake. You know, the whole time you're riding, you're a lot of people probably don't realize what you're doing, but you're feathering the clutch, you're feathering the throttle, your balance. You know, there's a lot of things going on, and at any moment, something could go wrong. If you barely switch that throttle a centimeter the wrong way, you could be in big trouble.
Don't forget, you're also doing really cool loud cracks of the throttle as you go through highway overpasses.
Yeah.
So it's really loud, so everybody knows that you're vroom, vroom. Yeah, it's like, dude.
That's kind of amateur hour.
Oh, that's amateur hour?
Yeah, that's thing. You know,
I'm sure you guys don't do that anymore.
No, yeah.
But I love the 55-year-old guy who's rocking the single-piece rocker. You know what I'm saying? It's all one piece because he's not a part of like any real club like that. And he's got to do it because he's on the weekend and his Harley sounds cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing when you're asking that question of what makes you keep doing it, it's just an addiction to the adrenaline. I think with us, it became, you know, there was a little bit of a business aspect to it, but nothing nearly is that. I think the feeling of your team, your brotherhood, it's like when you're playing sports.
It's a fraternity, basically. It's a rolling fraternity.
It's a close group of friends, and you've built something, and you get addicted to it. And you just there's a sense of freedom when you're on your motorcycle doing those things, and it's just hard to...
How many videos are there now?
Oh gosh, there's I think there's 14
wow. full-length films.
We've got two in the works and a few other things in the works.
And where can people find those videos if they want to get them?
Street Fighters with a Z at the end .com.
And how up to date is your website kept and all that?
Like, oh, very up to date. Yeah,
you got videos on there for people to like peruse and see clips and stuff.
Yeah, we have a very robust video gallery on YouTube. If you just search,
what would you estimate your fan base at nowadays in 2014? After all these years, like it's got to be up there 500,000 plus. Solid.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, we do actually. Me and her do the orders through our website each night. We have orders from all over the world, you know, from Bulgaria to China, Thailand, Hawaii.
And what's
Iceland.
The average cost of a video just for people out there that like $20?
14, yeah, 14, 15, 20
to 15
20
to 20,
yeah.
15 to 20. Okay, that's fair.
T-shirts, hoodies, you know.
All the good stuff.
It all kind of funds the business a little bit.
I would love to get a double XL hoodie from you guys.
I'll send it to you.
If you can send me a double XL hoodie,
I will
promote the street.
They don't make a hoodie big enough for me.
We do. Actually, we do.
Send Bobby one and we will promote you for three shows straight. Every single show,
I
we will let
one.
That. And we'll, she wants one. If you could get the whole team Street Fighter hoodies.
We'll deck you guys out.
We will
that
promote
is so
the hell
awesome.
Out of you for the entire. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
I will wear it to the ring.
Now, I there heard you. That you are getting ready to become a father soon. That's what you said.
I am. I just found out, 3 weeks now?
Wow.
Say yeah. what?
Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you.
That's
Thank you.
Awesome. We all, everybody, Lucy.
It's
we
the
all
most
have kids.
Exciting,
Lucy can't have kids.
Ever.
See, Lucy's getting ready to debut on a TV show after The Walking Dead on AMC here in a few weeks.
Oh, wow.
So, like, she's got big things going on. She can't be
Apparently,
bothered
I
with
can't
the
have
children.
Babies.
You can't have children right now.
You're not allowed to have.
You don't.
I'm not allowed to have kids.
She's not allowed to have children right now.
No, well, yeah.
But we all have kids and stuff like that. So, Good. My question for you is, obviously, this is going to be something maybe you want to pass on. To the kiddos, like obviously you're going to take it with care and things like that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's are you going to have the wifey with the kids hanging out the car with the camera?
Yeah,
doing that thing.
I think
she's giving a thumbs up. So obviously,
I like her.
Yeah, she actually rides herself. So
are you a rider?
Really?
Yeah, she does.
Sort of.
She has what's called a Grom. So it's a smaller.
I don't even know what that means.
It's a smaller motorcycle.
You don't have the side cart for her?
No,
you
we got
to rock
build
the
it.
Side cart, dude. Do you
might
have any motorcycles
to.
Other than your trick riding cycles?
I don't. I over the years we've been sponsored. I've had five bikes at one time.
You know, but, I just have a cruiser like a Harley or like a Fat Boy or anything like that
no,
that you just like cruise around on.
No, I'm. You know, when I'm on a bike, I kind of just want to
do your thing,
do my thing. So Stunt. It's kind of hard.
What's the fastest you ever gone?
Straight up. 174, 175.
Oh, my
wow.
God. Was that in a race or just going down
no,
the highway?
That was actually on the back of James's bike. That was two people. That was me holding a camera. Yeah.
That's so nuts, man.
Yeah. That was in our first video, actually.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a quick break here on The Q. Don't forget to check us out at TheQNow.com. Also, check out StreetFightersWithAZ.com. You can get hoodies. You can get videos. You can get all the great stuff that the Street Fighters do. You can find out what we're talking about. Search these guys up while we take this break. When we come back, more with Adam Hunsinger about the Street Fighters, motorcycle riding, as well as with Bobby, myself, and Lucy. We'll be back right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. To The Q, of course, listening to us on 1380 The X as well as 1420 WINI. A little CM Punk's intro music for you there.
Yeah,
Kill Switch Engage, Bobby. Didn't have no idea. He's like, what song's that, man?
I didn't say what song that is.
He knew who it was the moment he played it.
Yeah. The minute the song came on. We're sitting here with Adam Hunsinger, one of the founding members of the Street Fighters, a motorcycle trick crew. Here in the St. Louis area, who is, non-broken, obviously. You still ride quite often. How much does a bike like that cost? For two questions. One, I'm sure when you guys first started, people talked about, when I said that to somebody else who rides motorcycles, you know, one of these guys, actually, I think it's one of these guys who likes to go on the ride of the century. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a few minutes. But I asked him about it, and he goes, yeah, I bet those guys used gyroscopes back when they first started. Like, and I wanted to talk to you about that aspect of it, as well as like the cost on a bike like that, because I think that, you know, you have to have it's got to be a special style of bike, or is it just any motorcycle, or do you guys have to customize them?
Yeah, I mean, there is some degree of customization for them. some bikes.
And that had to be a learning curve, too.
It was, yeah, because when I first started, I just bought the bike that I thought looked cool, the very first bike that I had. So, but as you learn how to modify the bikes and which bikes perform the best, just, you know, by the way they're designed, whether they have a short wheelbase or...
And what's your preferred company? Personally.
Honda.
You like a Honda?
I'm a Honda man, yeah.
Now, what about the other guys?
I think everybody's Honda, but which is funny, we all ride Kawasaki now, but that's kind of the bike that...
No, why the Kawasaki, not the Honda right now?
Well, the 636, which is what we all ride, just has more power, but still light, and it's still maneuverable, and it has a short wheelbase, so everything put together it's a good bike to stunt.
Fair enough. And what's the cost on something like that, man?
Well, these are older. We're riding the 0304s, so you can buy those for $4,000, typically.
You're not getting new? Like, no, we don't have Team Kawasaki, like, sponsoring you guys?
You know, we stay away from sponsors now. We kind of like to do our own thing. You get mixed up.
How about I hook you up with Knoxville, man? I'm telling you, dude, guys could do some cool stuff, because, like, when Johnny and them see you, like, seriously, Pam and them will be like, yo, these dudes are where it's at. Well, like, when you get to them, you get to Nitro Circus. And when you get to the guys with Nitro Circus and those guys, they get you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They understand your world very quickly.
Oh, yeah, they understand it. That's, you know, they live, that's, I think, the same world that we live in.
Right.
You know, so we've hung out with those guys. There's the Extreme Awards ceremonies every year, and we all go and we hang out and party together, so we know each other.
Have you gotten some big awards for what you've done?
We've never actually won the Video of the Year, but we've been nominated several times and been there to. We thought we were going to win
for the Extreme Awards.
Extreme Awards, yeah.
I've never even heard of that.
Extreme Awards.
Yeah, it's basically the movie equivalent to the movie awards, the Grammys, except not the Grammys,
Oscars.
Oscars, but for extreme sports.
Really?
So, yeah.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, it does exist.
Bobby, we should go to the Extreme Awards instead of the AVNs.
It's a good time.
Bobby wants to take us to the AVNs out in Vegas in January.
Uh-huh.
He wants to go to the Porn Awards.
Do it.
And I'm like, okay, cool. We could get it. Which, by the way, I need to talk to you off air about something.
I thought he kept saying mixed
about porn?
Steamy.
Yeah, actually, I've got an in now to Larry Flynn, I think. Which is really weird how that happened. But yeah, we're going to talk.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about, like, local stuff.
Nice.
It's something really weird that came out of nowhere. Anyway, thanks to Justin, actually. So
I'm 10 times more excited now.
Yes, he's focused.
But, okay, so the gyroscope. I asked the question about the gyroscopes. I'm sure that's come up a few times. How do you answer that question? You know, obviously you're not going to be like, yo, check my bike. You know, get down there. Like, because that seems like a paltry type thing to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And I'm sure there are people that do it. You know, it's not unknown.
Well, I'm sure everybody's always trying to find some kind of an advantage.
True.
You know? But we were competing a lot, so that's where these type of things would come up and in competitions. But, you know, I mean,
if you get caught, you're screwed.
Yeah,
so
you're screwed.
It's worthless. So,
I honestly wouldn't even know how to incorporate a gyroscope or whatever it would be into my bike.
For people who don't know, what is a gyroscope?
Like me.
Yeah, I don't even know how it would apply. I mean, I think a lot of times
it's a counterbalance weight system, basically.
Right.
It's free motion. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And what it's designed to keep something in a certain level at all times.
Okay.
So, like, technically, if you could get away with it, you could start the bike up, get it into wheelie form, right?
Yeah.
Put the accelerator on and just push the bike. The gyroscope, because of the way it's set, it's to counterbalance at all times. So it's constantly counterbalancing.
So
it would just literally keep it in
wheelie
motion the whole time.
Or if you're doing a nose wheelie.
Or, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Same idea.
Interesting.
Yep. So, okay. All right. Let's go down this road a little bit. You ready?
Yeah,
let's get into this.
Yeah.
Obviously, doing what you guys do does catch the ire of the Ferguson Police Department. And you've... Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. This is a totally different situation.
Oh.
I thought the riots were because of you guys. Okay, hold on. Let me get back.
They burned down Farachi's
pizza. Did you guys burn down Farachi's pizza? Like, it's ridiculous. No.
What else?
The cops are probably not the biggest fans of you, but I would assume at this point, 15 years down the road, you've probably made some friends with some police officers who actually respect what you guys do and understand what you do.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely made friends with a lot of officers over the years. You know, we've had our run-ins. Actually, I was telling her about one tonight a long time ago that we had in
Tell us about it. Yeah, hit us
actually,
up with this.
Actually, it was our very first chase of all time.
You had a chase?
Oh, Oh, I've had several.
Wow. No, that's okay. No, that's
all
right.
Chase, I wish we just had.
We are not going to tell him which ones, so to non-incriminate, plausible deniability.
No, I like
what
that.
What chases?
So actually, this was our first one, and it started right before Highway 40 on 270. And so we had some, I think it was Town and Country at the time, cops coming up behind us. So we did what we naturally do, and we took off. We just hit the gas, and we got onto 40. Well, about halfway down.
Is this just to avoid a ticket? Is that mean literally? Is that only a $100 ticket or a $200 ticket?
Well, they're a little more than $100. You know,
what's the most expensive fine you've ever paid?
I mean, you're almost $1,000. I mean, really? You're talking in thousands, yeah.
Holy cow.
Well, yeah, because you're breaking speed laws. Well, it's 30 over, 40 over.
Yeah, and it's careless and imprudent. It's evading. You know, they tack on.
Well, yeah, when you do the evading part, I'm assuming at this age,
I've never been caught.
I'm assuming at this age, though, you probably don't run too often. There's no reason.
Right. I actually don't, unless there's a real valid reason to.
Unless they're shooting at you, yeah, and you're like, okay, I've got to go. Yeah. I've got to go.
I know what happens when they do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that particular chase, we had, I think, four or five different precincts after us, including State Patrol and a helicopter. So,
so how do you evade that? I mean, I don't need to get into super details, but do you hit the woods? Do you just like all break into different directions? Like
we did break into different directions. My gas light actually turned on. One of us went the wrong way down 40. Another person did
the wrong way down 40.
Yeah.
There's another one to tack that onto the
ticket.
That's
how he got away. And then another person ducked into a hospital and hit his bike in an underground garage. After I stopped in at a gas station to refill my tank, didn't have a wallet. And had to leave, but I came back and paid later. I ended up in Eureka after, you know, I was doing about as fast as the bike would go, but we got away.
You ended up in Eureka?
I ended up in Eureka.
That's a hell of a far way, right? Yes. Unless you're going down 109.
I was.
I got to get away. I'm ending up in Cape Girardeau.
Yeah, I ended up on Manchester and just went straight through every light, basically.
Wow.
Ended up in Eureka.
Holy cow.
So, and that, I could go on all night.
Which actually works out for you because you're from South County originally, right?
Yes. I mean, I knew where
so
I was.
So you
at.
Were just on your way down home. You know, no big deal. Everybody else is screwed because they're going the wrong way on the highway.
I just assumed everybody else was caught.
This guy's stuck in a hospital for the night. You know?
It was every man for himself at that point.
Every man for himself.
Wow. That's right. Yep.
So, but you know, like I said, at this age, you probably don't do that much. You probably don't condone that. You know,
definitely don't condone.
I will tell you a story that is funny. One of my friends, his father, I'm not going to give any names, is a police officer, and he's young. He's a young guy. Mm-hmm. He's in his early 20s, and the first time he gets pulled over, he decides to run from the cops from a pulled over stop. So he guns the motorcycle and takes off from a pulled over stop. And his dad's a police officer. I'm like,
it's actually a good move.
I'm just like, how stupid. Well, yeah, because you're going to get a little jump. But at the same point, it's like your dad's a cop.
Right.
Like this is not looking well for you. It makes you look dumb as hell. That's all that looks like. Like, and he didn't get away.
He didn't get away? Okay, well, that's a shame.
So what's the craziest thing you've ever done so far on a bike?
I think it's the chase. You mean in terms of a stunt? Or
Stunt.
I think probably the most dangerous stunts are the nose wheelies, and because we're coming in at 130 miles an hour, and you're basically tapping your front brake, and as soon as you come up, you're feathering that front brake to keep yourself at that balance point. What a lot of guys do when on that initial come up, if you hit that brake, I mean, you're talking, you know, the slightest pressure, you're over the bike, and you know, guys have died
face first.
They're dying or breaking necks.
Wow. So okay, working in the motorcycle world, obviously, we've kind of touched on a little bit here. There's motorcycle clubs out there. We'll call them riding clubs.
Right.
MCs, the nefarious, deep Sons of Anarchy style ones. Do you guys ever have any run-ins with those type of individuals? Do you have friends with those people?
We do. Yeah, over the years, we've become close friends. We've done a lot of work and promotions and business ventures with a lot of the groups. So we've always had a really good relationship. We've never had it. Any problems whatsoever.
Right, because I would just assume, you know, they look at the motorcycle world in general as their thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not just, oh, we're this and they're that.
Right.
It's like, we run the streets type thing. And if you're driving through our area, we might not want you there.
Yeah, I mean,
and we break bones. We kill people. Like, that's what we
do. That's what they do, right. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got a very rebellious spirit about us. And that's what kind of always has driven us. And I think those clubs have the same type of mentality and spirit. So we've always kind of seen common ground.
Now, I would assume, you know, being the adrenaline junkie, that can lead to, and I don't, you, if you don't want to talk about this, you can't. It probably leads down other roads in people's lives, searching for other highs and stuff like that. Have obviously in this world, have you run into other people, drug addictions, alcohol problems? Have you been one, or any of your friends been one to, like, they have to get out there, they have to drink before they do what they do?
Actually, we've never, none of us have ever right. experienced that. I mean, you know, this type of culture attracts
sure.
a lot of people that oh, yeah. may fall into that category. But we, us particular, have never, you know, we drink a lot.
Sure, yeah, you drink and have a good time.
We, yeah, we drink and party a lot, which almost probably overshadows the stunt riding part of everything. But, yeah, I've never really seen a lot of that.
Fair enough. No. Fair enough. Has it led to any other attempts at other adrenaline sports? Like, have yeah. you gotten involved in some other things that were chancy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it does. It pushes you in all kinds of different directions. Dirt, you know, motocross and skydiving. And I think all of us have
kind you
of,
done skydiving?
I have not. I personally have not. But DJ and Guru, who lives in California now, he's jumped. I think he's jumped over 3,000 times.
What about wow. What do they call that? The super jumps? The guys who do like the Nitro Circus stuff, the super jumps.
Are the freestyle motocross?
Yeah, jumps? But where they like do the Superman, yeah. like, you know, 150 feet off the ground in midair and yeah, stuff like that.
We've done
that seems like something that would be going as fast as you go. Like, that's yeah, where you're going to jump.
You know, we've done a lot of shows with those guys, and to see that stuff in person, I mean, that's at a whole nother level. I mean, it depends on what you like. Some people find that to be really extreme, and other people find what we do really extreme. So it's, I think it's just two different.
It's just a nice meld, yeah.
It's a nice meld, but.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
Have you ever done the full pipe?
The full pipe?
Yeah.
Oh, like the upside down?
Yeah. Like they tried to do on Jackass, but they didn't get it because they like kept breaking it. The full pipe?
No, but what I have done and what we've done, we've taken motorcycles and built a 360 metal bar around the motorcycle.
Okay.
And then you drive and you hit your front brake and flip over on purpose.
Oh, so it just rolls the bike over. Roll. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So that's pretty cool.
It's kind of sick. Is that on one of the videos?
Not any of the CNI videos. It's probably on some of the other Ride the Century videos. And We did another video where we filmed in Miami for 2 weeks. So there's, I think.
Let's talk about that. Where does the Ride of the Century come from? You guys have probably the most recent notice that you guys have gotten over the last few years is because of this thing that you guys do each year called the Ride of the Century. A lot of cyclists come in from different parts of the country. You're not doing anything crazy. You get together and you ride a long distance. You know, obviously there was probably an original purpose to why you do the Ride of the Century the way you did it originally, but it's caught a lot of ire over the last few years from cops.
Right.
This past year was actually pretty docile from what I've heard.
Yeah, we approached the event a different way this year, which I think led to that, but you know,
How were you approaching it before?
Renegade
style?
Well, no, we were just promoting it. We were partnering with big businesses, and it gave the cops a long time to plan their attack and how they're going to try to control the situation, the event.
Because so you think they're just looking for opportunity?
I mean, they got a lot of pressure from the media. You know, the media was asking, why aren't you guys doing something? But the unfortunate part was social media kind of makes the event and the wheelies on the ride look more than what it really is.
Now, is that what it's designed? What was it designed to be?
It was technically designed 12 years ago just to be a group of us to go out and ride together. We were trying to get, it was the end of the season, and we wanted to get a few of the other groups from around the city to ride together one last time, so we put that on our forum. Well, we show up, and there's 100 motorcycles there. So, you know, we were like, well, this is pretty cool. So then next year, we called it Ride of the Century and promoted it, and 500 motorcycles show up.
Wow, there you go.
So each year just progresses.
Now, is there any cost to get into the Ride of the Century?
No, it's free. You just show up and ride.
Just show up and ride. Yeah. But it's secret location type thing?
Well, over the years, the location and the starting spot became well known. So it was in front of the graffiti wall downtown when we left at 2 o'clock.
Oh, by the arch?
By the arch, right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the cops caught wind of it, but they really didn't.
We call that the chingy wall.
Oh, is that the chingy wall?
The jackpot wall.
Okay.
We call that the right there.
Right there wall?
Yeah, that's the right there wall.
That works.
So that's cool, though. But then you caught a lot of ire from the cops, arrests, problems, and stuff like that. But this year, more low-key?
I'm not sure if we caught them off guard or they just didn't know about it or they had other
issues.
Or
they issues were dealing with different Ferguson, parts, you know, of the city of St. Louis that are out of control right now.
Yeah.
I think, worse than a wheelie.
Yeah, that's... I agree.
Evidently,
I agree.
They didn't feather their brakes up in Ferguson is all I'm saying.
Exactly.
They went headfirst into the ground.
Ferguson's the hot topic here.
It's a hot topic. Oh, well, you know, this is a somewhat political show at times. We do get into it.
I've got opinions on that as well.
Do you? Would you like to? Go ahead. Tell us what your opinion of Ferguson is, please. I'd love to hear what you think, just in general. You don't have to, like, get into deep details.
I basically, without getting into a lot of detail, sure. I hope that the investigation proves if the officer was in the wrong, then, you know, he should face the full, you know, punishment of the law. And if what he did was justified, then that's the case. But from the evidence that I've seen... And the videos and the testimony, I think the most recent testimony from those construction workers.
Yeah.
I feel like his hands are up. You know, I think there might
be
excessive. I think the cop was in the wrong. That's
it's very possible. Yeah. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about Freeman Bosley. He's just gotten his, he's the guy with the lawyer, former mayor of St. Louis, lawyer for Dorian Johnson, the other witness, the friend of Mike Brown's that was there that day. He just got his license pulled. So that's not helping out that situation all that well. We'll discuss that. But all right. Adam, I appreciate you coming on the show, but what I do with my guests every time they come on the show is like to do this thing called the hot seat.
All right.
I'm going to put you under the hot seat. And by the way, I've got some hate mail that is just lambasting all of us today.
What?
I get a lot of hate mail. I just hope you know. I get a lot of hate mail, bro. You think you're edgy. You should hear the things that they say about hate mail.
You think you're extreme.
Well, one person explained to me that God wasted a perfectly good a-hole by putting teeth in my mouth. I don't know how deep they get with you. So here we go. All right. The hot seat. Basically, five questions I ask you. People out there don't know about it. So go ahead, Bobby.
Number five.
What's something that you struggle with on a daily basis, Adam?
Besides looking so good.
Yeah. that's a good one. Just being successful. You know, I want to be successful in life no matter what it is. And just finding that drive to keep going. Every day.
I think you've done all right. I think you've done pretty good for a kid.
I've got high expectations for myself, you know, so I think I put a lot of pressure on myself.
Fair enough.
No, but.
Oh, what was that?
I like that. What was that?
Number four.
If we were all forced to wear a warning label, what would yours say? What would your warning label say?
Adrenaline junkie.
Inside adrenaline
stay,
junkie.
Stay back 10 feet.
Stay back 10 feet, adrenaline junkie.
I like that.
I get it. All right.
Number three.
What do you think is something people are normally proud of but probably shouldn't be? I get deep, man. I get deep on these questions sometimes.
That is a great question. Come on. That's a great question. What are people normally proud of, but they shouldn't be?
Like, what catches your ire when you see somebody just be proud of it?
You know, I mean, I think we probably all are a little bit materialistic, and I think probably sometimes people are proud of, you
like,
know,
you get a new cell phone every 6 months and the watch
car,
that goes along with it and all that crap.
Yeah, but it's kind of a mixed thing. I think it's good for people to feel successful about your life and surround yourself with things you find that make you feel that way, but maybe sometimes we're a little bit.
See, I find a problem with that because I got Bobby originally so I could be better than him, but then I got Lucy, which makes me less than him, and then Dan comes in looking like a god. He's out there in the hallway. He comes in looking like a god, and it's weird. All right.
Number two.
What is something that instantly killed a crush that you had on someone in the past? Something that they did that just murdered the crush.
A girl you were looking at
and you were just like, uh-oh, nope, no,
man,
I'm out.
I have a foot fetish. If the second toe
is
longer than the big toe, I'm done. I'm out.
You're done.
I'm out.
You're finished.
Doesn't matter how good
she
looks.
Do you check all the girls?
Absolutely.
Every single time?
Absolutely.
Really?
That's so odd.
Look at this.
He draws pictures of the toes?
I have a problem with feet.
You have a real problem. You know what mine is? Mine is aromas. I will stand, light bulbs and aromas. I will stand in the light bulb aisle and I will stand in the laundry detergent aisle for 20, 30 minutes at a Walmart because I just can't figure out which one I think smells the best I want to use. Like, that's my problem. It's an OCD. I get where you're coming from, though. Yeah. I get where you're coming from.
Number one.
What is your favorite website to go kill time? Like when you're just bumming at work or you're bumming off to the side and you ain't got nothing to do, what's your favorite website to kill it?
I hate to admit this, but it's gizmag.com.
Gizmag. And what is that?
It's a lot of scientific technology and inventions and people things that people are doing around the world, these little neat
inventions. So, you know, inventors
technology,
type thing.
Electronics, stuff like that.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for Adam on the hot seat. Congratulations. You made it through the Q hot seat there, Adam. And it's almost time for you to get out of here on the show. We got Dan, the Polar Vortex. He's going to be in here in a few minutes here with us. But before you get out of here, I want to first off say great to see you after 20 years, sir.
You as well.
It's been awesome. We should catch up, maybe barbecue, have some beers, show me how to ride a bike finally. So I'm not like destroying my brother's CBR. Is it CVR or
CBR?
CBR, yeah. I just 25 miles an hour, dude. Turn and like $2,300 in damage.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just don't know how to lean to turn. Now, he had a really crazy wreck. He was actually on Highway DD out by St. Charles, and he had a deer run up and underneath, head under his arm at like 45 miles an hour going around a curve. Took him off the bike.
I've got a crazy quick story.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm in a wheelie.
You go ahead.
I'm in a wheelie, and a pigeon flies into my bike and gets stuck between the radiator and the forks while I'm in the wheelie. So I slam the wheelie down. And I'm, you know, freaking out. So I pull up next to the camera car and I'm pointing. I'm like, did you guys get that? You got this? So I see blood starting to splatter everywhere. So I'm pulling. I finally pull the pigeon out and he just flies away. He kind of looks at me for a second, I think. He just turns.
But you saw blood.
Blood, yeah. He was bleeding, but he survived.
Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to catch Adam and his boys doing their tricks and stunts, you can go to streetfighters.com. That's streetfighters with a Z. .com and 14 plus videos there, as well as merchandise, all kinds of stuff, clips. Search these guys out on YouTube, help them out, take a look, get them another view on their YouTube and stuff like that. And we're going to have you back in again sometime, Adam.
Anytime.
I really would love to have you and the other guys in here so we can talk more about your chase stories and stuff like that.
That'd be great.
We should have me ride stunt with them.
We should have you ride stunt with them, but how could we? We need a gyroscope. We will need a gyroscope. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. We will be back on the queue. Adam, thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We will be back on the queue right after this.
Bust it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue, of course. Mark Land, joined today by producer Bobby, the queen of sass herself, Lucy Mendez, as well as joining us now and missing the entire Street Fighters interview, the Polar Vortex himself, Dan the Man Walsh. What's going on, Dan?
I'm great.
You're great?
I didn't even know how to respond to that. It was how are you doing?
You seem like you're in a pretty good mood.
Yeah. As long as I seem that way.
You seem that way. Dan thought I was stalking him earlier this week. Or actually his friends. He thought I was stalking all of his friends earlier this week. Because this past week...
he sends me a picture
with
my buddy Joe.
With Joe Lennig. And me and Joe happened to be on the show together for this girl named Tisha here at 1380. She invited me in and Joe happened to be on the show. So we got to talking, and I explained that, you know, Dan's my co-host. And he goes, oh, yeah, I love Dan. You know, he's an old friend of mine and this, that, and the other. And we just got to talking. And I told him, you know, I want to take a selfie with him because I think that Dan would get a kick out of it. Well, I send the selfie to Dan, and he's like, hey, man, why are you stalking everybody I know, dude? And it's like, whoa, like, where did this come from? Then we proceed to have literally like a 30-message text back and forth discussing whether it's stalking stuff. The best part is when we all get on our little Facebook message together the other day, I ask about his sister. We talk for, a solid half an hour on there. Dan never chimed in at all.
At least 45 minutes.
No idea. That
I went back to it and saw it because it takes away all the messages before.
Right.
So I seen like the top one and I'm reading the bottom and I'm like, this makes no sense to what everyone was talking about before.
Right.
So then I like push it and there's this whole long conversation. I'm like, oh, I missed that entire thing.
Well, no, I knew Dan had a sister. He's never told me her name. Like, and so he's been on the show for over a year solid. He just doesn't bring up his family life too much other than his dad on the show every once in a while.
Correct.
So like, you know, Lucy tagged Heather, is that her name? Heather in on the situation, and being a human being, I see that she was very specific. Check out the name of the show. You like this, Heather? So I'm like, wow, that's pretty specific. Who's Heather? So I click on it, And like, I see that like she's hanging out with some person named Walsh and this other person named Walsh and Lucy. And I'm like, well, that's really odd. Like, she knows a lot of Walsh's. So she then I asked Lucy who it was, and she's like, that's Dan's sister. I'm like, I didn't know. And, you know, I figured Dan would have jumped in on top of that and been like, you stalking my sister now? Joelinning and my sister, man. What's your deal, bro?
No. I just don't bring her up because I don't know how she'd feel being brought up. She's like me.
Right.
No, we're very similar.
Well, no, I'm not saying we should bring her up at all. We're
very entertaining people.
Yeah.
My sister's like super like go-getter, like get stuff done power woman.
The lust for life?
Dude, she's legit when she's a tough girl. Like, she's the most legit tough girl I've ever met. But what she does is she never lets you see that. She's always like having fun and into like new stuff and that. So like, all sides.
So she's a little reserved.
No.
Well, no, she's not outgoing, but she's reserved in herself. Well,
she's very, this is her thing, man. She has her principles and she's very driven and she's driven in a man's world and she's going to do what she has to do to be successful. And she's, you know, not scared to take that extra step. But at the same time, when it's her free time, she's very fun. We have similar personalities. Like, me and her can sit there and just joke about something that like no one else in the family understands. And like, even my brother will chime in and we just have like the same sense of humor and we're laughing hysterically and no one else really gets why we're laughing. So like, we're all kind of in tune like that, but you should have her on the show sometime. She's pretty entertaining.
Well, you'd have to set that up. I don't want to stalk your sister. I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't
want you already stalked Joe.
Hey, I'm the producer.
You know what, Joe, I would only imagine the stories because Joe, when I met Joe was when I was really hitting the comedy thing hard, and he was too. And we were hustling, like going to all the different clubs and stuff together. And we'd run into each other sometimes 2-3 times a night at like different places. And this is when I was drinking, and not like bad stuff would happen, but like me and Joe would tie one on and party and talk. And we seen each other all the
time.
Where
is this Dan? Because this Dan never wants to be around me. Like, I want to, not saying I want you to drink. I'm just saying. Like, where's this, I want to hang out and party and kick it with a person, Dan?
Well, like, when I was, like, drinking.
Dan's real business. He's like, I won't answer my text messages. Just don't call me ever. I'm not going to be involved.
Well, you
got to
remember, too. At that time,
I'm not a lumberjack.
I had comedy. Yeah. I had comedy, some wrestling, and then, like, a BS job. So, like, I had a lot more time.
You
I wasn't
still got
scoring
a BS
nothing.
Job.
Hey, my job's a lot more legit than most people.
Fair enough.
Like, my job is
it's
one of those,
no pizza place, right?
No. Well, like, legit, what I'm making at my job, like, just a friend of mine who is, like, college educated,
don't
works
put
for,
your penis on the table.
No,
we
I'm just
care.
Saying, like, I don't, I'm a very put frugal person, but you wouldn't think that my job, I do okay. I just, it's a different story now. Like, I do enough to where I'm scared of losing that job. So
right, I see what you're saying.
It takes more of my time, and obviously, partying's not really my
fair
primary
enough.
Thing now to where it used to be.
Do you like pizza?
I'm a big fan.
You're
talking to the dude who once had a pizza in his passenger seat on his way to a show.
To our show, yes.
To eat it and cry at the same time.
We have a delicious Frank and Helen's pizza over here.
Yep.
The Meatza pizza. They sent one over to us because they were recently awarded.
Frank and Helen's was nominated as one of the top 33 pizza places in the United States, beating out all other pizza places in Missouri. So beating out Emo's, beating out Fortell's.
It's good pizza. I had a couple of pizza. Dan, would you like to try? Dan, go grab a pizza. Can you grab a pizza?
Did it beat out Mystic Pizza starring Julia Roberts?
Yes.
It did.
And an all-star 80s cast?
Yes.
It's that good.
Take a bite of that pizza.
That's a
pizza. Take
a
bite of that pizza.
Take a bite of that pizza live on the air.
This is good.
This is Frank and Helen's pizza. It's the Meatza pizza. Now, Dan watches his weight like a hawk, and he's going to take a bite of that. And I want you to just, first impressions, top of your head. What are you thinking, bud? He's chewing. It's delicious. I mean, obviously, he doesn't want to talk with food in his mouth. I can respect that.
Taking the bite.
He is closing
smile.
His eyes. He might just be tired, though. He might have got up at like 4 o'clock, you know, this morning. Been going all day. He could just be tired.
It's so hard to swallow.
Because you have nothing to drink?
Because it's so gooey and delicious.
That's good stuff, huh?
It is good stuff.
Yeah. We want to thank Frank and Helen's. And if you get a chance, you should check out Frank and Helen's.
FrankandHelens.com. Or you can check them out at 8111 Olive Street in U City, Missouri.
There you go.
Give them a call at 314-997-0666.
Great job. Thank you so much for the pizza, guys. We really do appreciate all that stuff. Bobby. Yeah. We have decided that we're going to do some, like, we love your five things, your random five facts, but we're not going to do that. Every once in a while, I want to do some different games here and there. Bobby's got a new game for us that he wants to throw out there, and I said, you know what? I think it would be kind of cool. You know, there's a lot of other shows that kind of do little fun games here and there for the fans and stuff like that, so I think that this is something fun for the fans to play along with. So, Bobby, go ahead and introduce what you got for us.
All right, our new game is called When the Hell Did This Happen?
When the hell did this happen?
I already like it.
So I'm going to give you a couple events that happened in a certain year, as well as play you the top song and play you a clip from the top movie from that year. And you guys are going to guess when the hell this happened.
Okay, fair enough. So how are we going to do this? Where are we going to start?
All right, so your events. I'll say the events. You guys take a guess, and then I'll play the song and the clip. You get one final guess, and then that's it.
Okay, so we're going to get two guesses?
You're going to get two guesses. Based upon the events, and then your final guess.
Now, you might want to make these kind of difficult from here on out. I'm just saying, because, like, you know.
This is going to be difficult anyway.
All right. You ready? Enough. Here we go.
All right. So, during this year, South Park's first episode aired on television.
Okay.
During this year, President Clinton bans federally funded human cloning research.
All right.
And during this year, the NBA suspends Dennis Rodman indefinitely for kicking a cameraman.
All right. Okay. So, Dennis Rodman. All right. Okay. Well, let's not play. Everybody play with it in your head your own way. Okay. So, Bobby, do you want to do first round of guesses?
Yes.
First round of guesses off of the events. Dan, what year do you think this happened?
1997.
Okay.
Damn, he took my year.
Did you say 1997 also?
I was going to say 96, 97.
You can say 97. It's okay. You don't have to have like a unique year. You could have the same as him.
97.
I actually was going to say 97. You know, the funny thing is the human cloning one kind of threw me a little bit. I might go 96. But the problem is that I remember South Park originally released a video online of Jesus versus Santa Claus. But that wasn't the first time the TV show debuted. I'm trying to remember when the TV show. I might go 98, actually. Because Rodman was probably playing for the Bulls. Okay. I'm going to say 98. I'm going to say 98.
All right. We'll leave it at that. Here's your song.
Okay.
Tub thumping.
Chumbawamba's tongue. Now, see, this is kind of making me hedge my bets back towards 97 a little bit.
I'm thinking 97, man.
That might not
truth
be.
Truth is, I thought it mattered.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that music.
You know what they're going to be doing?
Mattered.
They'll be singing.
But does it matter
when they're winning?
Not compared.
And they're anarchists.
Oh, let it roll for a minute.
I know, dude. This song brings back some memories, dude. And a lot of them have to do with weed.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. Get down, gotta kick me out. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Get down, gotta kick me out.
All right. So Chumbawamba Tum Thumping is the song that is part of this year that we are supposed to guess. And you said this is
a movie clip. You
a
ready?
Movie clip. Do we have the name of the movie? Or do we have to guess the movie?
Guess the movie.
Titanic.
I'm still going 98.
No, nope. Man, this is 97 all the way.
Oh, man, I was originally going to say 97 too. Okay. So the movie is Titanic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The movie is Titanic. We have Dennis Rodman. We have Chumbawamba's Tum Thumping. You say 97.
I'm saying 97.
You're sticking with 97. I'm going 1998. I'm sticking with 1998 as much as I might lose. That's fine. I don't mind losing. I just, the cloning thing kind of threw me for a loop there. I mean, 97 is a strong bet, and I can't be mad if they win, but.
Push that back up.
All right.
1997.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
I just remember because it was my freshman year of high school.
Freshman year of high school.
I was a sophomore.
I was already graduated for three solid years. You guys were little kids. I was actually training in professional wrestling already.
In 97.
I was already doing that. You were a freshman in high school, and I was already awesome.
I just remember in my high school, they had...
Do you realize that before you graduated high school, I'd already been in the business for 6 years?
By the time I graduated high school?
5 years. 4 years. No, 5 years. That's crazy, man.
That was also the year that the Columbine shooting happened, wasn't it?
No, that was 99.
That was year 99.
No, that was 99.
I thought it was 98. It was 99?
I think it was 99.
No, it was because it's my junior year.
It was also the same year as... What, wasn't it Branch Davidian's the same?
No. Branch Davidian was...
That was 96.
I thought Branch Davidian was 95. I could be wrong on that.
95, 96, somewhere in that range. Yeah. All right, well, good job, man. Great game there, Bobby. I like that game. You need to do that again.
That was kind of... That was hard.
That was fun.
That was because we can't guess if it's like... Not that like the year before, it's always falls between a 2 year span. I like that.
I think we should like, but I think on the next one, you should try to hit the early 2000s from like 2000, 2010, one of those 10 years.
I think you should.
Why? Because I don't want them being able to use their nostalgia to their advantage. Like, I'm in college and training for pro wrestling, so I'm getting drunk and I'm at the Stages nightclub hanging out on the radio.
But I was like,
these guys are like, oh, I've got my whole life ahead of me.
Mark's down at Tremors doing the Kid and Play dance from the House Party movies.
Exactly.
And the Z Cavaricci's.
Yep. Shut up, Bobby.
I was 10 years old.
10 years old.
We're 87. I was born in 88.
Oh, wow.
Bobby, thanks a lot.
Thanks for making us.
It's time for me
to. I love you guys.
It's time for me to. Let's get into the show a little bit. I want to discuss a couple of things I hit at the top. And by the way, thank you to Adam Hunsaker from the Street Fighter, streetfighters.com with a Z. Trick Cycle stuff that they do is awesome. Go check them out. They said they're going to throw some merch our way, and I think that'd be great if they do because I'd love to have a Street Fighters hoodie.
I want a hoodie. Awesome.
We should have gotten Dan's size too. Maybe. I can always
just hit Adam. Just remember size men's cute.
Men's cute?
Uh-huh.
You might need a double XL then.
That's the size I wear.
Wow.
Men's double XL or
men's
XL?
Men's cute.
Somebody's full of themselves.
All right. Okay.
Full of men's cute.
I want to talk about these town hall meetings. Okay, first off, another 3 town hall meetings this past week, as well as a couple of roundtables to discuss the Ferguson thing. I'm not going to discuss Ferguson, but these are unnecessary, ladies and gentlemen. They're unnecessary.
The city of St. Louis is dropping 220 warrants.
It's ridiculous.
Because of the city of Ferguson.
Right. This is so stupid, ladies and gentlemen. I get it. You're mad. A young man died. I understand. But nothing you talk about at any of these town halls. I've got 4 points here. Number one, nothing you implement will probably see the light of day at any of these town hall meetings. All the things that you're going to discuss at these 30 to 40 town hall meetings that you've had since Michael Brown was shot, all of them are just, I'm angry, the police are wrong, that young man didn't deserve to die, I'm angry. Yes, we get it. You're angry, you burn things down, you're unhappy. And guess what? They're going to every single city hall around the area to protest Michael Brown as if Florissant cares, as if Manchester cares.
They went to Manchester?
Dude, it's ridiculous.
I'm going to tell you right now, Manchester don't care.
Bowen.
That sounds like I care, but...
They're getting down to Oakville. They're getting to Oakville. Like, it's just
They're like, wait a minute. Who's this kid? They don't know. They're so busy with money.
They're having town hall meetings and like DeSoto.
And their housewives with hidden heroin problems. Like, they're so busy with that. They're not worried about
reason for you to have all these. And it's the same 10 people and every single one of them arguing with each other about what. And they're all community leaders. Everyone becomes a community leader just because you happen to be around a thing a lot.
I think that
now you're a community
leader. I think Manchester forgot there was a Ferguson until they showed up at their meeting.
Also, it's mostly, guys, let's be honest, it's mostly smoke and mirrors by people that are racially freaked out because they are honestly somewhat passively racist and want to do good things so other things don't pop off. Like, look, that's what it is. It's, oh, shoot, this is kind of setting us in a bad light. I have certain tendencies that I really don't talk about. It's not like they walk around with like KKK hoods on, but let's be honest, when they're sitting on their back porch at 10 o'clock having their smoke, thinking about the Ferguson thing going around them, they're like, those MFers.
Well,
like, that's right. Them.
This
you
is
know
my,
what I'm saying?
This is my point. I have a friend of mine who I talked to at the gym, and this guy is a super smart dude, logically about life and everything. He's African-American. We get to talking. As a matter of fact, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say he's black because he was the one that told me he didn't like to be called African-American. But we got to talking, and his whole thing was, we brought up the point that people, like white liberals who think that they're defending black people are actually being the most racist. Because the way we were explaining it was, if this had happened in St. Charles, and a white kid was shot down, and the reaction of St. Charles was to burn down something, those same people would be like, that's ridiculous. That's not a smart way to do that. That's,
right, right.
But because it's black youth or it's African-Americans, all of a sudden they're like, well, they have a right to react to that. Why? Why is it okay for them to act primitive and you not to?
True.
Is it because they're lower than you? Because you feel that that's their mental status? You are being so racist by saying that.
Yeah.
And you don't even notice that. Like, no, mankind needs to be held to the same standards of you don't destroy what's not involved. But yet if white people do it, they're right on it. But they're always defending if another color does it. And in a way, they're racist. They're saying that that group is not as good as white people. So any reaction that they have, it's almost like, oh, he's three. So that's why he rubbed fecal matter on the wall.
Now, here's the thing.
It's wrong.
I will defend Dan, and I will say I agree with him most of the way, probably 98%. I think that this applies in the early parts of it very heavily. What you're saying applies very heavily in the early parts of it. Once you get past day 9 or 10 of rioting where they're just doing it to do it at that point, I don't think it's so much racism that the people that are like, these people just won't stop. Like, it's not even about the race anymore. It's just like, this is just out of control.
Let's say what they want us to say. Let's all pretend like we're in this so maybe they'll calm down.
Right, exactly. We're all in it together. And the truth is that we're not. We're not all in it together.
And they're approaching them, not as human beings, they're approaching them like this species that doesn't know how to, like, you know, make sense of their actions. To me, it just seems really racist. People, when someone does it, I'm like, you are holding them to a lower standard than yourself, and you're defending it by doing it like you would a child. People, and to me, that's wrong.
People are just going to be the way that they are, okay? And there's no, like, no matter how many town halls you meet and have, no matter how many round tables you have, you can discuss things till you're blue in the face. People are just going to be the way they are.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it because you're not going to be able to cordon off 5,000 solid people and get them all on the same page at the exact same time, the exact same way mentally, so that everything's just perfect in the world that you want it to be. Like, the world doesn't work that way.
The only thing I will say that's kind of good about it is that these guys, and we've talked about it, there are police officers out there that are racist way over the line.
Sure.
And maybe these guys are going to tone it down a little bit just off of being scared to being caught. And maybe it puts them in a position where they would normally do messed up things to kind of not do it for a while. So maybe puts them in check for a bit. But
you brought up the warrant thing. They're killing off thousands of dollars in warrants. Now, these people did these things.
Yeah.
They legitimately did these things.
They were charged and convicted.
Went out of their way to just ignore what the judge told them to get a warrant in the first place. And now it's like, oh, well, we just don't want to piss them off anymore. And well, it's like, come on, guys.
The thing that really pisses me off is the fact that
everything pisses you off about Ferguson, Bobby. Let's be honest. Every show that we've done, the minute you're like, dude,
that's... He hates January Wabash.
Hold on.
School.
No. I have got a hate mail here. I've got a hate mail here, and this is exactly the first line of it. This is serious. I'm not joking. I can hear the anger in Bobby's fat voice when he starts to talk about the Ferguson stuff, and it makes me seethe. That's the first line of the hate mail.
No. Hold on.
Like, they can hear. No, I'm not.
How is a voice fat?
I don't know.
Like, I think Bobby is a nice voice.
No, he's a great dude. But that's my point. Like, well, people can go to the website. No, well,
with
people,
your skinny voice.
No. I think people can go to the website. I think this individual goes to the website. They see the bio. They see the picture. Like, right. they put.
I think Bobby's voice takes in too many cards.
I don't want to get into it deeply because, like, it says some pretty. Well, I don't know if it has any cuss words in it. I can. You know what? At the top of the next section.
What I was trying to say is, the worst part about it is people are using this situation to exploit the whole warrant situation. There's another case that's being brought to the grand jury because of the fact that Darren Wilson will not be able to appear at this court date that's in like 2 weeks, obviously, because if he shows up at the court date in Ferguson, crap is going to go down.
Dude, he's going to get mobbed. And
So obviously he's not going to be appearing. I understand it is your right,
but
as
they
an American,
could put 30 people
it
lined
is your
up with
right.
gear on to like block them.
But
from
it is,
yeah,
that
but you're talking at a higher scale now. Blowing up the building, you can put all the gear
right.
on you want.
I understand it is your right to face your accuser, but this person is now going to be using the fact that Darren Wilson will not be there as his way of getting out of a potential long prison sentence for drugs.
Well, I feel like now it's a no. But let's also explain. Let's discuss this too. You say he shouldn't show up because it could create a completely out of control situation. But based off what we've seen with the burning of the memorial, we got to go ride and burn down Farachi's. We got to burn and we got to go crazy. We got to like shoot the police and stuff like that.
Yeah, we got to go destroy Quick
Trip. Like, I have a feeling that if Darren Wilson don't show up, Darren Wilson didn't show up. See, it's obvious he's guilty. It's time to go burn some more stuff down and create more problems. Like, that's what I think.
But the grand, but the, a judge in the city of St. Louis,
Dan, you need
has
to go right.
A city judge has already allowed the grand jury to take this
Give
case.
Give me a bottle of Jack Daniels. I'll burn
you
that
need,
whole city
you
down.
Need to riot
Not because I'm mad at Ferguson, but just because Jack Daniels made me want to set stuff on fire. Dude, I'm going to say this right now. Did you see the footage whenever they were burning stuff down? And there's a group, and it's African-Americans, and there's the one white dude. And he's got his hat sideways, and he's got a beer in his hand. And something in my brain right away was like, that was that dude's idea.
That was...
Because I'm going to tell you right now.
He created the problem.
Drunk white people have stupid ideas. And they were all like, we're mad. And he's like, let's burn something down. Yeah, for Mike. Yeah, sure. Just let's burn this down.
On that note right there, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Q. When we come back, more with us. And make sure you check us out at theqnow.com. Old episodes, new episodes. Contests, we're giving away stuff constantly, fun things. Yeah. Everything's at theqnow.com. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell a muchacho, a muchico.
The muchachos.
Oh, muchachos. Tell the muchachos.
The puppies.
Tell the muchachos. All right, we'll be back on The Q after this.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q, of course. Mark Bland, joined by the cast and crew of The Q. The Polar Vortex, Dan Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
The producer, Big Bobby Hickman.
Yeah, baby.
And the queen of sass herself, Lucy Mendez.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so I've got a hate mail here. I started to tease it a little bit because of something you said there earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, my thing with hate mail is that they have to be really ingenious with the way they present themselves for me to actually want to read it on the show and, you know, downplay myself as well as my cast and stuff. But this one caught my attention because it does subtle slaps to the backs of all of you guys at the same time, just destroying me verbally. And so, like, it's not as quippy on the wordplay as I like.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I really think you guys should check this out. So this is from a group that, first off, it's an undisclosed email that was sent to me, and it was signed by the Wyatt family, okay? The Wyatt. Wyatt family. Yes, just like WWE.
Sounds like a bunch
It sounds
of
like
Goober.
They're just mad that they're being misused on Raw.
I think so. It's very possible.
Wow.
I can hear the anger in Bobby's fat voice when he starts to talk about the Ferguson stuff, and it makes me seethe. Mark, you are without a doubt one of the biggest a-holes on the radio in the U.S., I feel like all of you are here because your parents are pro-life. You are without a doubt a group of somewhat racist jerks led by a total douche of a human that doesn't understand this country is crashing to the ground. And the entire time you're all just talking about dumb things and then spouting off about military and politics as if you have any clue at all. Right, Dan? I hope you realize, Mark, that everyone is just putting up with you. Please shut your pie hole. Take this crap show off the air and save us all from the constant barrage of stupidity that comes out of you and your record comes out of you and recorded every single week.
Okay.
So
real
there
quick.
You go.
Real quick.
Well, you need to shut your fat, stupid mouth is what you need to do. You make fat voice.
Well,
I will
dang.
Burn this bitch down.
Okay.
Anyway, first off, your parents were pro-life. They gave you the ability to say that crap that just came in that awesome letter. Secondly, if you think you can, you have better opinions and you feel that.
What you gonna do, brother?
That we don't relate to the rest of America, I would love for you to come in.
You want him to come on the show?
I would love.
The Wyatt family themselves to come on the show.
For you to come on the show.
Mark, you just got a bully. Well, in our country.
This is, I think we should be more constructive. I want to help this person out. There's this thing.
Yeah, tell us about all the military stuff you talk about.
Well,
you don't
know
about.
I mean, you apparently, if you're there, you don't know.
Right.
But there's a thing on your radio
yes.
where you can just like go to another channel.
You could.
Or you could turn it off.
Yeah.
I think the police need to get on the person who's holding you down and making you listen to this because I think it is unjust that you have to put up with all of our stupidity and our, and
I
our
apologize
stupid.
That- I apologize that your new iPhone keeps downloading our podcast.
Like you realize that when you do this to everyone else that listens, you sound extremely pathetic because you're getting so frustrated at a group of people who are just voicing their opinions on a radio show you don't have to listen to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like
I love that part.
Like this is a total tear at your intelligence or your lack of discipline. And I mean, in as far as ripping on Bobby and his fat voice, like, you do realize when you people write this that, like, you're only seeing one part of us and, or hearing one part of us. And, like, you don't know
and
the full story.
And that's not the culmination of us as a human being, like, all the way across.
We are going to sound a little douchey at times because that's what you're supposed to do when you have a short span of time. But I'm going to tell you something about Bobby. Bobby's got a huge heart.
He does.
He does.
And Bobby's one of the nicest people I know. And we give
and
Bobby some trouble.
And it's because he's large. It's because he's a big guy, so he's got a big heart.
He physically has a big heart.
He physically just has a larger heart than most human beings.
But no, I think that, like,
a good point.
I think when I listen to our stuff, like, sometimes we do go, we all seem to, like, gel onto one, like, road, but you're getting so angry you don't know us. But I just hope you find peace
Bobby
with
your
life.
Bobby and Dan will fight over Sandy Hook any day of the week. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, that's like the thing. Like, me and Bobby
Sandy Hook
don't,
was just proven to be fake.
Me, it's never been proven. Nothing's been proven.
It just was. There was a story about Dude. It.
Oh, there was a story! Oh,
there
my
was
God!
A story about
on,
it.
On a website that says, if you believe in a conspiracy.com, it said it's not true. But
Lucy,
me and him do not agree on things, but I still love Bobby.
Lucy, what do you think about this this wonderful letter? Obviously, your mom had you because she's pro-life, or she would have killed you.
Yeah.
Evidently. Well, you know.
She's got a Mexican
mother. Hey,
hold on.
Time out. The only person they didn't knock on was Lucy. It had to have been
no,
somebody
she,
from...
They
because
said
Lucy
us,
is void
of all of us. They said all of us...
That doesn't count.
Lucy is void of negative attention.
They singled you out with a comment, singled me, and singled Dan.
They didn't single Dan technically. They just said military and politics.
I'm just happy that someone that actually, like, gave me some time on a letter. Like, I haven't gotten positive. The only thing I get is that dude on Facebook who hates me.
That guy is
and
awesome.
Like wants to kind of be violent / sexual with me. I don't, and that scares me. That's like what killers do. Like,
all right.
Wow.
Facebook sparked a fierce backlash 3 weeks ago when it began enforcing a real name policy against Good. Performers and members of the LGBT community. The company initially dug in its heels, refusing to stop requiring people to use their legal names, inciting hundreds of thousands of people to flee to the quasi-anti-corporate network Elo. Now Facebook is feeling the heat and it is slated to apologize for the situation this week, sources tell ValleyWag. We're told the apology will be first issued in a meeting with a coalition of drag queens, LGBT activists, and San Francisco supervisor David Campos, all of whom have been pressing Facebook end of the discriminatory policies. Before making a public announcement, the company will also outline to activists how it plans to fix its policies. When reached for comment, a Facebook representative declined to comment on the terms of the policy reversal. However, the representative confirmed that the meeting is taking place. SFist originally broke the news of impact of Facebook's real name policy. At the time, the site reported that members of the transgender community were forced to suffer the indignity of using birth names that no one recognizes. I wanted to talk to you guys about this. Where do you stand on a company like Facebook?
I'm sorry that you're no longer able to use the name Letitia.
Well, no, it's not that. Well, but Letitia, the point is that they want people to use their birth names. They don't want you like, and okay, perfect example. The lady who just beat us out for the RFT, her Correct. Name is Show Me Charlotte. That's her nickname in Right. the community, okay? She was forced to change her name to her real first and last name because of this situation. Now, my question for you guys is, do you think that that's fair? Do you think that Facebook should go down that road, that they should require it? Is it within their ability? Because they can just do what they wanted.
I don't think they were given any reason to do that. I think it's a complete outrage as far as, I mean, it's social media, so I can't take it too serious, but no, there's no reason to, like, there was no reason to do that. Like,
right.
It's if you're a performer, that's your stage name. Nicolas Cage's name is not Nicolas Cage. It's Nicolas Coppola. You know what I mean? But he's still known as Nick Cage. Like
right.
it's,
really?
It's yeah. yeah. He's Francis Ford Coppola's like nephew or something. Yeah. So there's so much of this going on, stage names and performance names. And like, who are you to tell them to, I mean, nothing. It's not like you're getting credit cards off of this or anything like that. Like, it's for entertainment. Who, I mean, you have no right to do this, Zuckerberg. I want to fist fight you now.
But the problem is
that could be douchey of me.
The problem is although it's traded publicly on the stock exchange, the way it's formulated, Facebook has the ultimate end person is always Mark Zuckerberg until the end of time for Facebook. He has reserved the right through contractual obligations and the way his stuff is structured out to where he runs the company in a private manner. And his argument is going to be, because I run Facebook as a private company, it is my decision.
Right.
I am the end. And if I want to shut Facebook down tomorrow, I can. It's not a smart move because financially it would be stupid, but I physically can shut Facebook down tomorrow and that's all gone, whether you like it or not. So it's my decision. Now, obviously, he listens to the people around him. He's not going to be stupid in business, but I think that he has the right, if he wanted to run down this road.
He has the right, but that doesn't mean he should do it.
Right. Of course.
I have the right to dress up like a pig every day and go to work, but that's weird.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Dan, can I ask you a question? Serious question.
Yeah.
Are you a boxers briefs or a boxer brief kind of guy?
I've recently gone to boxers and briefs.
Boxers and briefs?
Or boxer briefs, excuse me.
Boxer briefs.
I'm a bit douchey. I don't understand your
See, I'm not here. A big... Okay, Bobby, are you boxers briefs? What are you?
Boxer briefs.
Now, see, I'm a briefs guy.
I used to do the briefs, but for some reason, I guess, was since I started tucking shirts in and stuff like that, they get ruffled.
They make my testicles hurt.
The problem that I... Are you a boxer briefs or boxer briefs person there, Lucy?
I go commando.
You go commando. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is.
Oh.
Keep it trimmed. Could get a little painful in the zippers. That's all I'm saying. Like, the hair gets stuck. It's weird.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine. No, seriously. Not joking. I had a friend of mine back in middle school. He went commando all the time. Now, as we hit puberty and we're growing, you know, you start to get hair in places. Well, he didn't care. He just kept going commando. But the problem is that he would tell us, he goes, it gets dangerous. Like, you start to zip up. It hurts. Like, it pulls.
I go commando when I go to work. Like, when I wear my yoga pants.
Sure.
That's when I would go.
Why wouldn't you wear underwear? Don't
with
you
yoga pants?
Sweat? Yeah, sweat.
Because you can see them.
Okay, but.
But they could see
they can't
everything
see.
Else.
What else can they see? Okay. What can they see?
Yeah, what can they see?
They can't see your vagina?
They can't see my vagina.
Really?
Have you stared in that area?
Yes.
Most guys have. I mean, not your vagina. I'm just saying guys have looked at vaginas.
Hey, if you want to, you wear your pants however you want.
Good point. Okay.
Thank you.
Don't care.
I'm not much of a boxer briefs guy because the problem I have with boxer briefs is not that I don't think that they're comfortable. They're comfortable. I don't like the fact that depending on the brand you buy, you might not get the hole to where you can, like, easy access. You know what I'm saying? Some come with just the packages, like, complete. And it's like, okay, that just makes the whole going to the bathroom thing different for me.
I'm okay with that because when it gets hot.
Some people are like unbuttoned, zip, pull everything out in that way. Some guys are through the hole. So everybody's a little different in their style.
I like to say hello to them. You know, I want to see how the boys are doing.
You want to see the whole thing. The whole
Be like, what's up, guys?
Hey, fellas.
We're going to empty out here.
I get you.
This is nothing to be alarmed about.
Well, the reason I brought this up is bras, girdles, and leggings infused with caffeine and sold as weight loss aids were more decaf than espresso, and the companies that sold them have agreed to refund the money to customers and pull their ads, U.S. regulators said this past Monday. Yeah.
Bras? That was a bad joke. Bras?
They put caffeine in them?
Yeah, the Federal Trade Commission and Waco America and Norm Thompson Outfitters, which owns Sahale and others, were accused of deceptive advertising that claimed their caffeine-impregnated clothing would cause the wearer to lose weight and have less cellulite. If someone says you can lose weight by wearing clothes they are selling, steer clear. The best approach is tried and true diet and exercise, says Jessica Rich, the director for the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection. In the case of the Oregon-based Norm Thompson, the company sold clothing made with Lites brand fabric infused with caffeine, which the company said would break down fat. Slimming and firming results are visible in under a month, the company said in one advertisement the commission wrote in its complaint. Waco America, based in New Jersey, also advertised that clothing had microcapsules with caffeine, vitamin E, and other chemicals in it, said to lead to weight loss. In one ad, it cited the revolutionary iPant. That's right, iPant. As in, like, iPhone, iPant, new shit.
He's going to buy that.
Revolutionary iPant new shapewear that works with your body to eliminate cellulite, the FTC said. In both cases, the company did not have evidence to back up their claims that the clothing would lead to substantial weight loss, the FTC said in its complaints. Neither company immediately responded to attempts to reach them for comment. Refunds will be about $1.5 million across the board.
And yeah, they're
doesn't
idiots.
Body wraps do this already?
No, body wraps work on the basis of sweat and that. But caffeine, the theory behind caffeine is a thermogenic. It can get your core temperature to rise up and you start to burn off fat. However, I have not seen any evidence that shows that you can do that through skin. And it has everything I've ever read is ingested.
I got some Coca-Cola here.
You
we can rub it
but
on.
There's so much other
Lucy,
stuff inside of that counteracts
it. Do they have caffeine-infused condoms? You seem to be up on the condom game with the different spices and flavors.
That's like, you know what? I will do the research for you.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I will.
You find out.
Journalistic integrity.
Yeah. Yes. Now, what if they infused a condom with caffeine? Because when you insert it into a person, now you're going past the skin. You're getting into the system.
That might work.
That actually might work.
I would. I mean,
Monster Energy condoms?
Monster Energy condom.
Holy crap. Do you know how on the game they would be in the porn game if they came out with Monster Energy condoms? Dude. Oh my God. Like every porno would have like somebody with a fake M tattoo on their arm.
They could stop using cocaine like they've been doing.
That's so crazy.
You got to film a lot of movies in one day. I get it. Those are hardworking individuals.
Hard working. Yeah, Lucy. You're a girl. That's it. You're a girl. Yeah,
anyway.
That's right. She likes porn.
Okay.
I do.
So, Bobby, we were stories on over there, buddy?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about something or somewhere that they drink soda at baseball.
Sure. Talk to us about
it. This past week, we had basically the end of an era. Derek Jeter played his last game. He
Dan Walsh's favorite player.
Retired from baseball.
I don't hate Derek Jeter.
I didn't say you hate him. I said he's your favorite player.
He's not my favorite player.
Oh.
This was actually
what he does on dates where he sends him home with gift bags. That's just hilarious to me.
He sends him home with gift bags?
Oh, yeah. Like they went to the Oscars. He gives him like a gift bag. It's
like,
thanks for coming out.
Coming over to the Jeter house. Thanks for letting me put my penis in you. Here's a gift bag. It's got some perfume in there for you.
Nice.
I still think my favorite one was actually the situation from the Jersey Shore, who actually had the girl come over, made her wait up in the room so he could go cook himself food, then had sex with her, and then called her a cab and sent her home.
Yeah.
Even though she was like, I want to stay and kind of hang out and maybe fool around more. She's like, no, I've got to go out and party tonight. You got to get going to cast up front.
I have a lot of substances I want to abuse.
But anyway, so Derek Jeter had his last game, and he is retired now. So and of course, Derek Jeter can't just go out and be like, oh, I'm going to strike out for my last at bat. Of course, he has to hit.
And here is Derek Jeter with the winning run at second and one out in the ninth inning. I know what you're thinking. It would be true Hollywood if Jeter gets a base hit to win the game. Now, that would be Hollywood. And the pitch is line. Base hit. Right field. Here comes Richardson. Here comes Marquez's throw. It's going to be not in time. Richardson scores on a base hit by Derek Jeter. Is that unbelievable? Or is that unbelievable?
That's crazy that the announcer called it. Yes. Legit, top to bottom, before he did it.
It's a work.
So, but yeah, Bobby, what do you think?
Oh, no, it's not a word. Are
you kidding me?
It's two.
Of the stuff you believe, you don't think they lobbed one to him?
I don't think they lobbed one to him.
Okay.
But the cool thing is Derek Jeter was very classy in his remarks after the game.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering why they're thanking me. You know, I'm the one that should be thanking them. I just came here and tried to do my job. It's been fun, man. It's been a fun 20 years, and it wouldn't have been this much fun without them.
So Derek Jeter has retired, and the weird thing about it is Cooperstown, New York, is already planning for 2020 when Jeter is eligible to be in the Hall of Fame.
He'll be first ballot.
Oh, he'll absolutely be first ballot. And the year previous in 2019.
You're so excited about Derek Jeter, even though you're a Cardinals fan.
Because Derek,
he's a good dude. He's a classy dude.
Derek Jeter is...
He's like the A-Rod of the...
No. I will kill you.
You will not...
I will. Don't He's you like, ever say that.
He is like the Brett Favre.
He is like the
Chicago
Bears.
He's the Brett Favre of the Minnesota Vikings. He's like the Brett Favre of the Chicago Vikings. Bears.
Is that the one team he didn't play for?
You okay over there, buddy?
I can sense this thing.
Derek Jeter was a class act, and there will never be another player. You know, we kind of talked about this the other day.
After I beat you in Madden?
I will punch you in
the
face.
You know how many people said there would never be another player like Ted Williams? There will never be a player. You're right. There will never be a player that plays 20 years
named
Derek Jeter. That plays for the Yankees. I agree with you. But we don't know. The classiness, there's always one that comes up every
Michael
so
Jordan
often.
Was really talented.
But see, there's not, I don't ever see a player being as loyal as someone like a Cal Ripken Jr. or a Derek Jeter or a Mariano Rivera like
but,
these people
but
were.
Who
or
was,
a Mike
who
Richter. Or you a Mike know, Richter.
You're absolutely correct, because why would you ever want to be loyal to a team that's based out of New York that is the highest paying and takes care of you like they
Good
take
point.
Care of him? It's so easy to be loyal
okay,
to
but,
an organization
but
that does
talking,
that for
I'm
you.
I'm not talking about just in baseball, though. Look at, up until, you know, the whole situation happened, look at a team like Green Bay with Brett Favre. What the hell did Green Bay have to offer?
They had
a legendary history?
You're absolutely correct. That's why Brett Favre's character is tested. But the Yankees, that New York is not a Green Bay, Wisconsin.
But at the time that Jeter was drafted, that team was not very good.
The Yankees have never been at a loss for money or spoiling their team.
But it's not
or
about
that.
It's not
that.
They weren't bad
loss.
In the 90s.
I don't
they
think they've
bad
ever
in the
been
90s
horrible,
towards
dude.
The end of the 90s. For a while there, when, oh my God, I forgot his name now. But they made a movie about the whole Reggie Jackson situation and from the end
Which,
of the
by
80s
the way, everybody
the
forgets,
90s.
He's still not, he is called Mr. October, but somebody else is also Mr. October. He tied him hardcore. Albert Pujols
yeah.
did do it.
Oh,
game on! Like that's it.
There is no baseball team ever that has had the amount of pop culture, movie base, books, anything other
right.
on the New York Yankees. They're the most winning team in baseball. That team never, even in their lowest point, still had more prestige than any other team in Major League Baseball.
Well,
that's
when good you point. Win 30, that. When you win 27 championships,
yeah.
Obviously.
So even if he came in and they weren't doing that great, when you have that many perks,
maybe
and
the
you
teams
play
back
in, such
in the day
a,
were so
a historic
horrible.
Team.
Maybe that's why they have 27, because the teams back then were just not as good.
Well, I mean, dude, look at the people who have played for the Yankees. Like, look at them.
Yeah,
and
but
their,
also
and their
look
road
at,
to Cooperstown.
Look at, right, but also right. look at the time period when they won a majority of those championships. Like, you had a lot of the Western United States that hadn't even been developed, much less.
Correct.
Had baseball
a lot of
teams.
Those,
yeah,
but most of the teams that went out west were from, I mean, the Giants were a New York team.
The Dodgers.
They were there. The Dodgers were there.
Well,
they,
yeah, of course.
They just went eventually. Out west. They chased gold.
They chased the gold. Well, guys, it's about time for us to get out yep. of here on this show. We're going to definitely do some overtime today.
Cool.
Before we get out of here on the show, though, I do want to say that I really do appreciate these three guys that come into the show every single week and hang out with us here. I think
well, there's a girl too.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Well, I said I was saying the crew basically.
The crew.
You know, I really do appreciate producer Bobby. You know, I know we didn't win the RFT award, but this guy, he puts in timeless amounts of energy. We even dealt with a situation this past week that we had yep. to deal with that this guy was on top of immediately. And you know, you put in a lot of time, and I want to thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Because you know, a lot of the times we go without getting paid. To entertain you guys. We really do. I want to thank Dan Walsh. You know, this guy comes in. He's got a strong credo from the past with his MTV stuff. He doesn't have to be here. He doesn't need us to help him out and be successful in this world. But he takes the time out of his day to come in here each time, entertain you guys when you download this show. And I want to say thank you to Dan personally.
I'm going to cry.
I really appreciate you
thank
doing
you,
that.
Thank you, Mark.
And Lucy, I want to thank her very much. You know, when Dan decided that he was going to have to take a hiatus, we decided to, yeah, it's a good call. It's a good call, Bobby. When Dan decided he was going to try to take a hiatus early this year for focusing on some other stuff, we brought Lucy in to sit in with us and hang out, and she has gelled very well with the team, and I appreciate all the time and effort she puts in. She gets up every single day at 4 o'clock in the morning, and she leaves late.
Yeah.
From doing stuff with us quite
yep.
often.
Yeah.
And I really do appreciate the time and effort you put into this.
Aww.
And all for nothing more than to entertain you guys out there.
Right.
So I want to make sure that you guys know that I do appreciate each and every one of you. Thank
we
you.
We appreciate the opportunity
get to,
that you give us.
We get to work with God.
Yeah.
Yes.
You make a good point there. Thank you very much. No, I also want to thank Adam Hunsinger from the Street Fighter, StreetFightersWithAZ.com. Check out their website. It is StreetFighters.com. And they got hoodies, they got merchandise, they got all kinds of cool stuff there for you to check out. So if you get a chance, go over there, watch some of their videos. Cool stuff, especially 174 miles an hour.
Wow.
That's just crazy. Nuts on the back of a motorcycle. Two guys together. Locked
also,
in.
Also
tight.
That just sounded like a lead up for something completely different.
Also, thanks for the pizza from Frank and Helens. Check them out at frankandhelens.com. 314-997-0666.
Also, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Don't forget to check out the photo.com sponsored website, theqnow.com. Old episodes, new episodes. And we are working on a Halloween show per Lucy Mendez's request.
I also have a really good development net.
We're going to talk about that with Dan on the overtime. Also, if you have any ideas or a spot for us to do the show from, let us know by contacting us through the contact section on theqnow.com. That's going to do it for us. We will see you guys in overtime. Thank you so much to the 1380 The X and 1420 WYNI. We will see you guys next time on The Q. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime. Mark Bland, producer Bobby Dan Walsh, and Lucy Mendez. And Bobby is excited to talk about something. What's up, man?
This is a rip.
What do you mean it's a rip?
Hold on. Stop.
Okay. All right.
Is this a Sugar Ray song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
But Vitamin C was before Sugar Ray.
I don't know, man. No, Sugar Ray was around when I was in grade school.
There's no way that song came out before Sugar Ray.
Fly. Sugar Ray. Fly's like 98, dude. Same year as Smash Mouth and all those guys with, Walking on the Sun and all that.
Vitamin C was 2000. Sugar Ray riding
Sugar Ray. 99, 2000. No, that's Fly.
Yeah.
But it's not a rip on Fly.
No, but it's the exact
same. I think they're about the same.
Oh, it's down the same road, yeah. But it's not a rip on Fly.
Only they played that song, and Vitamin C just sang to a machine.
All right, now play the Vitamin C one again.
She karaoke'd it.
You gotta.
She even sings Spread Your Love on Fly. That's ridiculous. Dude, that is dead on!
I mean, it's the same type of riff.
That is the same song.
There was a group. No, find this group called Sprung Monkey. Sprung Monkey and their biggest song. It's been so long. It was so regional. But I'm trying to. Can you stop Vitamin C for a second?
Is it this song? No.
Wait. Hold on.
That sounds like Fly slowed down.
And it also sounds like the Friends theme.
Hold on.
I'll be there for you.
No. The group is Sprung Monkey.
What's funny is that song was called
Friends. Do you have multiple versions of Sprung Monkey? Like, what do you got? Give me the names.
Friends, Bleeding, Laughing, La Fe Verte.
Fool, Hungry.
Conspiracy.
It's Feelings.
California, My Drug Rock and Roll, Reluctant Man, Believe, Swirl, Good Times.
Try Swirl.
Huh?
Try Swirl.
Okay.
Sounds like a washing machine.
This is overtime.
I feel like a pair of
pants. I was thinking something else, but that's okay.
How big is the vibrator that you own? That sounds like earth shaking. That's a body massager slash vibrator.
I was not going to say that.
I was thinking of something else.
And that's not what I was thinking of.
And his name is Matt. Or Hunter.
Or Hunter? Hunter?
It's named Andre.
There's a song called American Made, Unexpected, Saturated.
Man, no. They had a really cool song.
Let's spend
song.
The whole fucking time trying to find this song.
Oh, shut up.
Let's do it.
Tell us about what you got for us.
I talked to a gentleman who may or may not be able to get us hooked up with the house in which the young man who was was possessed in St. Louis, which led to the movie The Exorcist. Everybody knows that young man was worked on in Lection Brothers Hospital, but the possession started in his home, and that home is right here in the St. Louis area.
Wasn't it always said that was caused by a Ouija board, and then come to find out it wasn't?
They always tried to pin it. I don't understand why everybody had against Parker Brothers, but they were
get them out of here.
They were really against it. But this guy said he's going to talk to him for us, and the gentleman owns a house, and apparently there's some pretty messed up stories that come from it.
A few hours, that would be cool, just to do some Halloween stuff.
This is the devil. This is the devil. Not like we're not going to like old Jim Bob who murdered teenagers. This is the dude, the devil.
This is the man. This is him. Pazuzu. If you've seen the movie Pazuzu, this is Pazuzu.
This guy thinks Ozzy Osbourne's a pussy. That's the devil.
Pazuzu.
Looking for it.
He will set a cat on fire because he's that evil. Because he's the
devil.
Weird.
Yeah, we're trying to do a Halloween show. If anybody out there knows of a place or a thing that we can get into, that would be fine.
By the way, remind me to tell you something about that last segment that we did.
Okay, we will. Our friend
Lucy'd it.
Are you talking about the word shit?
Yeah, she Lucy'd it.
Wait,
when?
While we were talking about Derek Jeter?
Yeah, you're like, oh shit.
Oh, did you really? And I missed it. Oh man, I don't even know where that's at either.
It's at the very.
I didn't want to come out. I didn't want to come out and say it because I didn't want to screw it up.
No, you need to announce it every time. That's the drinking game, man. Like, well, people need to know.
She said no shit.
Did you find this song yet?
No, I can't find it.
Sprung Monkey, obviously, Get Him Out of Here.
Obviously, it wasn't that fucking big of a
song. Oh, I know
what song
you're talking about.
Get Him Out of Here.
Yeah.
Sprung Monkey, just put Out of Here.
And it's that song where it's like, see what kind of trouble we could... That one?
I'm not sure. It's been so long.
I could be wrong. I'm not even going to go on with it because if I'm wrong...
Yeah. That's well, we do have a story. This is an interesting one. I have a long story here. It's a girthy one. It's a one story type. Nice little over girthy. Time. When you find this song, you let me know. Okay. All right. This is interesting.
Here,
you've got it. You got it.
Is it by Sprung or Black Lab?
Sprung Monkey. Which organization would you be from, young man?
Are you guys in position? Mailman, you in position?
I don't know. This doesn't sound like the beginning of it.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the song I was thinking about.
Oh, dude, this was a dope jam, dude.
I just like this song.
It's very regional. No trouble we could get into. There it is.
What did this have to do with Sugar Ray?
Yeah, I don't see the Sugar Ray.
No, it's the same type of...
I don't hear it as much as I heard it between those two.
Okay, here we go.
But I respect the valiant effort.
This story.
You put this microphone over like this.
I'm being nice, dude.
Okay.
Come on, back off.
The following is going to be gross, Mark, and I apologize.
All right.
For the past few weeks... Every few bowel movements I have noticed some weird blood mixed in with feces.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds amazing.
No, this story goes very interesting places. It's going to be very entertaining. Obviously, I took this as a bad sign and made an appointment with a doctor. I was told to bring a stool sample. Mm-hmm. My doctor's appointment was after work today, so in the fridge in my lunch bag, I had two Tupperware containers. One was my... Stop.
He ate his own shit.
Stop talking. I had two Tupperware containers. One was my stool sample. The other was leftover Chinese food. On a lot of days at work, I tend to drink a bit to get through the day. I have
drink a little bit of Jack Daniels. I fucking good. Hate my I job, just, man. It keeps me from shooting everybody.
Please let me do this because this is got to keep up. Got to keep up.
Okay.
Because this gets good. This is why this is one shot. Okay. I tend to drink a bit to get through the day. I have some vodka in my water. I never get plastered or even drunk.
I was just joking. Go to fucking rehab, dude. Bad sign. You can't even justify
Let
that.
Let Mark finish the letter.
I'm just hoping.
It's going to be a bit of a read. That's why I want you guys to stop.
It started off so great.
I know. This is good.
I hope he has kids.
I never get... Jesus, Dan.
And they're there with him.
I never get plastered or even drunk, but I like to maintain a nice buzz. A steady buzz really helps you. A steady buzz really helps you through the shift and dissolves the stress. Also makes me much more sociable and likable with my coworkers. On days when I am not buzzed, people tend to ask me what's wrong or remark that I'm quieter than usual. I need that buzz. For whatever reason, maybe nerves about the doctor's appointment, I overdid it with the drinking today. When I went on my lunch break, I was drunk. I was also wearing headphones. So I was just spaced out, drunk, lost in the haze of my music, etc., not paying attention to the cars around me. My mind was elsewhere as I prepared my lunch. I left to go to the bathroom while my food was microwaving. I get back to the kitchen and I see people gather around the microwave with looks of revulsion on their face. It's then when I am hit with the putrid odor. In horror, I stumbled toward the microwave and saw what I had microwaved was my stool sample. Not only had it heated up, but some of it had exploded and coated the interior of the microwave with boiling shit. Somebody threw up in the trash can. I stuttered some sort of excuse about microwaving the wrong thing and reached in to try and grab the container, but I dropped it on the floor because it was so hot. Then I threw up. When I looked up again, people were staring at me with horror and disgust. I was physically overwhelmed with the terrible sensation of dread and shame. I grabbed the paper towels to try to clean up my poop, but I was no longer functioning with any real mental level and just sort of stood there shaking and wiping more feces everywhere. At some point, people came along who were very polite, but clearly trying in a very forced way to hide their disturbance when they said I could go home. Instead, I just sat on a bench in the parking lot for a few hours. Do you think I should quit my job? How can I explain to my doctor why I missed the appointment?
There's a lot of things you need to quit. And I don't think your fucking job's one of them.
Holy shit, Dan is angry.
No, I think either. This story's bullshit, first off.
You think it's bullshit?
Oh, yeah. Totally made up by this person.
Okay.
Here's one thing, brother. Whether you're maintaining a buzz or not.
You don't think people maintain buzzes go to work?
Oh, no. I believe that part.
Okay. You don't think that they can make a mistake?
No. I think you know where your shit's at. If you shit in a Tupperware container and you're not a drunk, you know which one's the shit.
But what if you got a nice buzz, bro?
Well, then you're an alcoholic.
Right, but your buzz is heavy, so you might grab the wrong thing like he did.
If this is a true story.
Has this ever happened to you?
No. Have you ever drinking at work? Yeah.
Have you ever microwaved your own shit?
Have you ever took a log out, put it in a hot dog bun, and just cooked it?
There's the thing. Even as messed up as I was, man, I never even mixed up my shit with food, not one time. I also didn't shit in Tupperware containers. It's probably one of the few places I didn't shit.
I just want to know how many times did you shit in a Tupperware bowl?
Never.
To where you could have
missed. Never, dude, but I mean, think about it. Would you, if you shit in something, and would you put it in with your fucking lunch first off?
Probably not.
No, you wouldn't. Probably not. You wouldn't even be in that scenario. Number two. If you're drinking, brother, yeah, it does make you feel a little bit better because you're releasing dopamine. And if you're not acting that way, it's because you're lack of serotonin because you're a fucking alcoholic. And if that's the case, you need to go get help because you're drinking at work. That's awful because you are going to get drunker than you think and you're going to go operate a vehicle to get home and you're going to put other people in danger. I don't know what you do.
Especially if you put the headphones in. My God, dude.
I don't know what you do for a living, but if you operate machinery, like not only should you be sent home, someone should beat your ass in a parking lot for that.
Because should he quit his job?
Yeah, quit your fucking job. Seriously, get away from people that you could hurt with your habit. Because
this man, dude, this is an epic story. It's just, you're really taking this hard.
It took someone to look me in my eye and pretty much tell me this shit for me to realize. So I'm going to tell this dude this if this story's true.
Okay.
Like you were, everything that you were doing there was based off of what? The fact that you let what get out of control? What should you have not been doing? And then compare that to what got out of control. The whole thing's your fault. I hope you were fucking embarrassed. I hope it's horrible. I hope you're so ashamed. No, go back to work. I hope they look at you weird all the time. And I hope that that's the inspiration that you stop drinking at work and you never drink again because you have a problem.
I don't know how you can explain to your doctor why you missed the appointment. Just tell him that you missed the appointment. Here's the thing, brother. Move on with life.
I'll diagnose why you have fucking blood in your sample or in your stool because you probably got cirrhosis of the liver or
ulcers.
Your fucking ulcers or everything that's from the vodka that you drink because that stuff destroys your body. Like,
I just want to know why would he have to miss the visit? Just take another shit.
Yeah. Well, because he's fucking drunk. That's why.
But are you an on command pooper?
Yeah.
Can you really just on command poop?
No. But if you're, I mean,
the human body doesn't work that way.
You can sit there.
Produce waste matter now.
But if you got to shit again, just shit again.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
I think what he needed to take through that whole thing is your habits in life are awful and you need to fix them. That's it. The bleeding is probably like vodka. This is how destructive vodka is. Like, I quit drinking at 26. At 26, the doctor told me because I drank vodka constantly, that it had caused so much destruction to my body that I had like the insides of like a 50-year-old man at 26.
Oh, Jesus.
So they thought I would never regain like
Dan
full function.
Brought this whole show to like just a downer,
I'm so
man.
Depressed.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to laugh about a dude who gets drunk at work and drops shit on the ground and smears it and then asks for sympathy. Like, no.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Do you deserve to know what you did is awful?
Ladies and gentlemen, know that you're all just bad human beings.
Dude, don't drink at work. I don't think that's a shitty thing to say. Don't drink when others are fucking involved. Like, go socialize if it's not a problem. You can wait to get home.
All right, fair enough.
Get on some Lexapro like the rest of the fucking world. We all got Obamacare now, all right? You got a doctor. Go get some fucking antipsychotics or whatever you need. All right, to be normal.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to call that a day here on the Q. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Any last words from you, Bobby?
No, not today.
Dan?
I think that guy needs help. I hope he gets help.
Lucy Mendez, the queen of sassy bitchiness.
Don't drink at work, I guess.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. Thank